33. Mab.
You dare to call upon me, mortal? I asked with as much venom as I could muster as I focused my gaze upon the glowing purple orb in front of me. Within it, I saw Garrett Andrews prostrating himself in some far-off hellhole that felt much too much like warmth and sunlight for me to enjoy. You are truly unwise.
Trust me, great fairy. I would not have called upon you if I could have helped it.
He sat up and rubbed the back of his neck nervously, and that pleased me. He should be nervous. After all, though I couldn't help but notice how much stronger he had become, he was still a flea compared to me and mine. He would have to do better if he ever hoped to beat Zaxis. That, I believe. I leaned back in my throne of ice and turned my attention toward my inner sanctum, deep at the center of the darkened world tree at the end of the universe. So, what is it you desire, Garrett Andrews? Blood? Sex? Magic? I licked my lips and leaned in close. Or is it death you desire?
I need a spike of true ice.
He extended his hands about a foot apart.
Long and narrow, with as much darkness as you can manage.
Admittedly, his request puzzled me. A spike of true ice was a simple thing for me to create since I was the mistress of the cold and dark. In fact, it was such a ridiculous trifle that I couldn't quite understand why he would want such a thing. It was like walking up to a rich man and instead of asking for coin and other trifles, merely wanting a hearty handshake. And because of that, I could hardly refuse. After all, I had bestowed my title upon him and placed my mark on his head. Asking for boons from time to time was well within his rights, though few ever did. And this? Why, I peered into the orb. That is a non-thing. I waved my hand in a dismissive wave as I conjured the item he so desired. Blue ice stretched out in the air in front of my fingers until it resembled a thin icicle. Only, this was no ordinary icicle because cold radiated off it, even here, even in the darkness that plagued the universe. Even here, where heat did not dwell, its cold was a tangible living thing.
There is a person here.
He met my eyes then, and I wondered if the next words were going to be a lie. That would certainly be interesting.
And I wish to hurt her badly.
He started to turn like he would show me something, but stopped. Then he met my eyes.
Trust me, Queen Mab, when I say this. I will tell you anything you want me to know, but it would be to your benefit not to know.
He shot me a cruel smile that made me hot in a way I hadn't felt in quite some time.
But you will also approve.
His lips stretched wide until he looked almost crazed.
And you will be able to recount the tales of what happened for eons to come, and all who know you will know you to be powerful beyond all measure.
He smirked.
And the best part?
He waggled his eyebrows.
The best part is, if I tell you nothing more, if I fail, well, it isn't your problem now, is it? After all.
He met my eyes.
You did not know.
I dislike that you are trying to manipulate me. I scowled as I looked over at the spike. But I appreciate the effort, Garrett. It shows you are wise, and for that you will be rewarded. And then, because it took barely any effort at all, I merged the essence of overwhelming darkness into the spike of true ice. After all, I could not give my plaything a pathetic excuse for an item like a spike of true ice. Sure, mine would be better crafted than nearly any, but it was still not a fitting gift to come from my hand. Now, though? Now it would be something incredible.
Thank you,
he said, and I could detect a barely discernible smile on his lips. Had he thought it might go this way? If so, I would flay him alive, or reward him for his cunning. Alas, time would tell either way. What was important was that he was my plaything and mine alone. Only, as those thoughts wormed into my brain, my conversation with Rhapsody came back to me. It had been so fleeting a moment in the vastness of time and darkness that I'd nearly forgotten. Only as I went to voice words to my thoughts to inquire of others, I stopped myself. It was strange. I was Queen Mab, the keeper of the cold and dark, the ruler of that which will always be. And yet I feared that if I voiced words, it might spur things into action that I did not wish spurred. After all, if my sister found out about Andrews, she would come, and he was not ready to face her yet. "Enjoy your spike," I said instead. Then I waved my hand, sending it to him in an instant. After all, while the space between us was large, all things were connected by darkness and shadows, and that was simple enough to bend to my will. Then, because it happened to occur to me, I thought to add one last tidbit. What can I say? I was feeling generous. "Oh, Garrett, I am not sure what you're planning, but a word to the wise. You may want to check the accords." A smile quirked at my list. "Page 3248, paragraph 8, sentence 3.
"You are most generous, Queen Mab. I will check in after this."
He gave me a delightful bow.
"And I will make you proud."
"Of that, I have no doubt," I said as I cut the call, because Queen Mab always had the last word. Always.